I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. I have a really great, joyful day today, talking to my own son, Joseph, about church planning. He's starting a brand new church in C3 OC, that's Orange County, California. Great to see you, Joe.
Great to be here. Great to be a part of the podcast.
Yeah, and great to be part of the army of church planners all around the world.
Amen to that.
Starting great churches. So what are you doing to actually get the church underway? What are the steps you're taking?
So out there are a lot of ways to start a church. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we were adamant on was that I didn't want us to start a church that was in a box. Because I do believe there is a uniqueness to each person who is planning a church.
Right.
So it's kind of difficult to put it into a sum that works in a very broad setting. And I have loved looking at all of the different models that are available and the resources that are available to plan a church. But one of the things we really wanted to do was not start with a big bang.
Right.
You know, growing up around you and knowing the story over and over again, there's something about the boomer planting of churches that I absolutely loved, which was the call came and then we put an ad in the local paper and we started running Sunday services.
Right.
You know, what's the budget? What's this and that? And, you know, and so instead of going down this line of we're going to do a night that introduces ourselves to the people in the area. Instead, we just wanted to start in cafes and restaurants, just by meeting people.
Beautiful.
And so we started doing that. We moved into the area to Orange County 5 months ago.
Right.
And then just every day, sit in a different cafe, meeting people. We obviously had some people that we were connected with in the area, which is great. And then we started having what we call tables.
Right.
Basically a dinner party, as everyone would know them. But we launched that with a Friendsgiving party and then a dinner party series, which was Dreaming with God. Mm-hmm. And then we finished the year with another Christmas party.
Amazing.
Which had around 50 people who were there, and we prayed over everyone's dreams.
Great. Well, you know, the dinner party concept, I think Josh Kelsey in New York City, C3 NYC, now called The Fount, actually got that rolling. And before that, they were known as connect groups or house churches. But I thought a crucial element that was sometimes devalued was the eating together part of fellowship. And actually, in the New Testament, it's the agape feast. It's the communion that Paul talks about. I mean, we've reduced it to a little wafer and a small cup on a Sunday. But actually,
but it was a spread.
Yeah, it was just a big old spread of food. And I think you could put it up there along with prayer, reading the word, and fellowship, just eating together. So powerful.
Yeah, I agree. I think people come together over food.
Right. Yeah,
it breaks a barrier of formality.
Right.
And so people come a bit more humanistic to it, you know.
Yep.
And so not only that, but then I think there's a lot of in-betweens in the Bible.
Right.
It's not adding to, it's not, I'm not trying to throw some different words in there, but it talks about all the time. Jesus was having dinner with these particular mm-hmm. folk.
Yeah.
Some people were annoyed.
Right.
Others were taking note and they were seeing it. So I think there's a lot of ministry that happens yeah. around the table
yeah.
that we might not even recognize as happening, like laughter.
Yeah.
Laughter is medicine for a hurting heart or for a disconnected
so good.
Heart.
Yeah.
And it's an overlooked factor. It's like, well, we've got to get to the formal side of mm-hmm. the liturgical communion.
Right.
And then we've got to make sure we have a sermon. Mm-hmm. And but sermons can also be preached by just the way
sure.
we're acting.
And well, we've got three chapters in John where Jesus is just having pizza with his disciples in that
pizza.
Upper room. Well, I could have been. They want a takeout.
Yeah.
But he said, this is the Last Supper.
Right.
And so I'm going to talk. He talks about the deepest, deepest stuff, about all kinds of, when the Holy Spirit is coming and the conviction of sin and what's going to happen to him. So it was powerful. And it was around food. So now you're doing that and you're also doing digital work as well, aren't you, online?
So we did a online launch. And that was, about a month and a half mm-hmm. after we had started meeting
right.
with people. And it's kind of like behind the ball,
yeah.
which I kind of like, because
right.
it was less like we're going to rely upon our online
yeah.
to then bring a crowd.
Right.
Instead, I'm going to rely on meeting people.
Right.
And this is probably the only time that you kind of get to choose
right.
which people you are really pouring into.
Sure.
And those that are coming to those dinner parties. And and so we wanted that option.
Best time to do it, straight away. You know, like Jesus, right from the start, chose his 12.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like halfway through, I should pick up some guys to figure out what I'm doing.
Right
from the start, they saw everything,
mm-hmm.
so they could model it, you know, all the way through. But in the digital space, I've seen you a few posts on Instagram, etc. What's your goal with social media?
The goal of social media is keeping people updated, mm-hmm. I would say, but also getting people connected. So
right.
I would say Orange County is kind of like a it's a little Texas belt.
Right.
It's a little bit of a Bible belt within California. Once you get south, it's kind of called, for lack of better terms, the red curtain. And so you cross down Orange County and San Diego.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people who I would call believers.
Right.
But not what, or Christians.
Right.
Even as far as, but I would not call them disciples.
Right.
And so there's a lot of floating people. There's a pretty strong, what I'd say, religious temperature.
Right.
And that is exciting for me.
Yeah.
It
helps.
Yeah, but I love to, you know, I would rather break molds.
Yes.
Than having to work with ones that already exist. And
right.
so our goal with social media would be to reaching
right.
Those people
right.
who are stuck in a limbo. And provide an agitation that provides a spark,
yeah.
that provides a fire.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of what I'd say, like box checkers.
Yes. Been to church.
Yep.
Got baptized.
Yep.
Take communion.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Christmas and Easter services.
Yep. Bloodless Christianity, right? It's
unfelt.
Meat. Yeah, meat already wrapped in the wrapper.
Right.
And so. It would be getting those people connected.
Right.
Those who are interested in
right.
being a part of a new church.
Right.
Getting connected and meeting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got your philosophy of ministry worked out with your church. You got seven pillars.
Yes.
One of them is worship, right? Because
yes.
you've also called, you've promoted your the church as a worship movement.
Yes.
That's part of it, maybe what, 50% of what you've said we're going to be. And you obviously have written a bunch of songs. You were our worship leader in church for a long time, helped produce maybe over 10 albums. Mm-hmm. And so songwriting, musicianship, worship, I would imagine is going to be deep in the blood of this new congregation.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is the hope. I think it's the base call of every Christian is mm-hmm. to be a worshiper. Mm-hmm. And that's not just in the form, you know, there's the great expression of singing.
Right.
You know, it's in the Bible.
Right.
It's written all that rejoice, lift your voices, lift your hands in surrender. But I think worship is, it obviously is much broader mm-hmm. than just, oh, we come together to sing a song. Mm-hmm. It's communal surrender.
Oh, so much. Yeah.
And I think we can get a little mixed up sometimes with it being the greatest performance.
Yeah.
Of what the better song, the mm-hmm. the better sound. And mm-hmm. I'm into all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, that, you know, we write great songs. They are put together really mm-hmm. well. But at the same time, you know, worship as one of our pillars mm-hmm. is an overall surrender of right. our lives.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you know this, but it's in the Old Testament, it was the priests that made the sacrifices.
Right.
They were bringing the worship mm-hmm. To God. They brought their lamb or mm-hmm. cow or whatever it mm-hmm. was, but then the priest made right. the sacrifice.
Yeah.
He offered the incense to God. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, it says, I've now called you as a royal priesthood.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And so it's the age old. And it's the same thing that, you know, people check boxes off. I heard my word from my minister.
Right.
Okay, so I'm done now. Mm-hmm. But that's not it.
Mm. It's meant to equip you.
It's meant to equip you.
Yeah.
And also ignite something in you that mm-hmm. you would go home and search the word.
Right.
That you would go home and ignite a prayer. Mm-hmm. And that you would go home mm-hmm. and ignite worship.
Yeah.
You know.
When Israel was coming out of Egypt, the command was, let every man take a lamb for the house and put the blood.
Yes. Yeah.
So every father, every husband was called to be a priest that day mm-hmm. and put the blood of a lamb, the Passover lamb.
Yeah.
Which is when Jesus. So I kind of think that really does apply to us in today as well.
Yeah.
Fathers in their yes. homes can be like a priest to their family.
Yes. What do you think is in the origin days is the most important factor for a church?
I would say the worship experience.
The worship.
Exactly what you're talking about. I would say that if the worship feels like the gate of heaven, mm-hmm. like I touched heaven and heaven touched me, mm-hmm. I wasn't just singing songs, but I got to another level of consciousness. I became aware of the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then that juice kind of feeds into your spirit, sets you up for the whole week.
Yeah.
You're anointed. You don't really quite feel it all the time, but you know that since I had that experience, it anchors you for the days ahead. And in any problem, it's a much easier thing to look away to God on the inside of your spirit.
Yeah.
Say, God, if you've already made contact.
In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
Yeah, the Psalms are awesome.
Yeah,
for that.
Totally.
Where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because mm-hmm. I can't explain to you mm-hmm. what a taste is like. I mm-hmm. can't say this is what a banana tastes like. Mm-hmm. to be like, what? Yeah. I got to give it to you, yeah. right? And then you experience it, you taste, and you see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And I like that because it's not taste and see that the church is good.
Right. That the worship was amazing.
Yeah, that taste and see that the worship leader was awesome. Yeah, yeah, No. It was taste and see that the Lord is good.
Totally.
And that's the beyond just the extension right. of a well-produced service. And like I said, all behind that. But if it does not have the juice,
right. yes.
then you walk away and it was like an inspiring thing.
This is a really important point, because I've been in small startup congregations that are trying to be like a big congregation because there's 10 people on the stage and 4 singers and there's like 30 people in the congregation. It's kind of overkill. It doesn't work. And I think it's better to be synonymous with your environment and maybe just have a guitar player and a singer
awesome.
Doing a really good job
yes.
than 10 people doing a pretty average
yes.
you know, job. And I think that's the meaning of the word excellence.
Right.
Achieving the best you can with what you've got. And if you've only got 3 musicians, then, or 1, just a guitarist up there.
Yep.
We started a church in New Zealand, just had a guitarist.
I was about to say, it was you, wasn't it? Oh, glory.
I had to give that away. Some people who were better.
Can you imagine this? I could sense your heartbroken.
Can you imagine there were some people who could do a better job? They came along. All right, here you go, you know. But your mother, she was the worship leader, and there's very few who could do, you know, what she did.
Right,
but,
that
was, I mean, we have got a worship background. Mm-hmm. In our family, and it's been important, and it's the only time everybody in the congregation gets active.
Right.
And I've asked, you know, I've done surveys in our congregation for the last 40 years and at various times. And, you know, you feel like you're a pretty good preacher, that you're okay. And you ask the congregation, what do you really value?
Never value.
Never once.
Well, that gives me hope.
Yeah. But the worship, always.
Always. Yeah.
And the friendship and the community and the vision, all of that. What people value, why they come, why they stay, I think the worship factor has a big part of it. And the first person to kind of put on staff, after maybe an administrator, manager, PA sort of person.
You mean the first person you hire?
Yeah. It would be a worship person.
A worship person.
To raise up a whole worship team.
Yeah, right.
Volunteers, and singers, and to tap all that talent that's in the congregation.
Yeah. Yeah, that looking at a small room mm-hmm. with a large worship team,
mm-hmm.
I'm 100% in agreeance. If David could worship God with just the heart and demons would flee, then why shouldn't we be able to as well? And I think it brings, especially at a church planning level, a unsustainable level for the weeks to come.
Right.
Because the one thing I learned, being at C3LA under Pastor Jake and Nicole, who were brilliant, we planted, I guess, 2 campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I realized was you never look at your launch Sunday as a finish line. And I kind of innately was like, we made it, guys. Yeah, we made it. And then it was next week. Yeah. The same thing.
That's like thinking your wedding day. married.
Yeah. So it's going to be like this forever, right?
right.
But starting, I do like growing your team with, because you're starting with a certain level of character that you want to grow, as opposed to I have low character, high responsibility, and bam, there it is on top. And that's a lot to carry for an early team.
Yeah.
And there's already going to be so many other things that, you know, we're going to encounter over and over, that to worry about, you know, convincing people to serve on Sunday because the first Sunday we wanted to start real big.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
rather build the character of people.
Totally. Yeah. Building the church is building people.
Right.
I mean, it's not building a building and an administrative system.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, so whenever you think of building the church, if you're going around building up people, I think you're building the church. Okay, so we've got one, the big one, or one of the big ones is worship.
Yep.
And you got these, you got another six.
Yes.
Let's go quickly through them.
Yeah, so, well, obviously the Bible.
Right.
So Bible is at the top. That is our first and last authority.
Perfect.
And so we don't waver from that.
Right.
Even in awkward conversations over the years, being in LA, there's a whole lot of different cultures coming together. And that provides for incredible conversations.
Yeah.
I don't call them difficult ones. I call them great ones.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you have some very courageous conversations or heard you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to waver from that. I don't want to bring philosophy or, you know, things from the side. Society doesn't inform the decisions we make as a church, but the Bible does.
Right.
And so we stand on that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is living and active.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want him in the midst of everything that we do. We say, for instance, we don't have a prayer meeting right now, but every meeting is talked about as a prayer meeting.
Okay.
So we don't, like I said, have a specific, we're having a prayer meeting right now. But for our dinner parties, it's a portion of is a prayer meeting.
Right.
And so we'll break off into groups. There's about 20, 25 and they would break off into groups of three and four.
Right.
And then we'll pray over one another.
Pray, yeah.
And then we'll pray in community together.
I think that's kind of cool, you know, because I'm not sure there was always prayer meetings in the New Testament. I think church was a prayer meeting. And we very quickly departmentalize areas of the church that should be the whole church, like a worship department, an evangelistic department.
Sure.
And so there's like three people there who are going to do the evangelism of the whole church, apparently. But actually, the whole church needs to be in prayer.
Yes.
In evangelism. And if we can kind of mobilize that feeling that the culture of the whole church is, whenever we come together, we are a prayer meeting.
Yes. Yeah. And not just personal.
Right.
Personal prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a thing right now is what is your personal prayer life like? Your personal devotion, and Christianity is sometimes getting split off into disconnected journeys. But the communion of the church coming together, like what we're saying before, with meals, with prayer, with worship, that it's not based on everyone meeting alone outside of, but coming together.
Right.
I think it's important. And to me, that's a lot of what the Holy Spirit does.
Okay.
Sure, it's personal, you know, in the morning when you're praying. My prayer life used to be a bit more marching around, and now it's a bit more quiet.
Quiet, yep.
Because I felt like God said to me, shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And so... I get that little drop that you were talking about. But then when everyone's together, there's something
totally
very special
about
that.
Oh, and, it's powerful.
And so, but the pursuit of the Holy Spirit is a big one.
Yeah, beautiful.
We don't want to shy away from it. He's not the weird drunk uncle that you don't invite to your Christmas party that some churches don't want that guy.
We don't want him turning up.
No, I want him.
Yeah, good.
And then generosity.
Yeah.
Generosity is not just limited towards finances.
Right.
We want to be generous in our finances.
Right.
But we also want to be generous with our time.
Yeah.
With our joy.
Yeah.
With our resources. Some of us have different types of resources.
It's amazing how generosity with your finances spills over into your attitude.
Right.
So I've found that people who are genuinely generous with their resources are very forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
they're not fault finding. They overlook other people's shortcomings and faults.
Yeah.
And I think having that sort of expansive spirit comes from a generous people.
Do you think that the financial side is one of the last frontiers that people meet? Or it's more
it's
a personal?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of, if it, it may be, but it's one of the last things to go in people's lives, I've found.
Gotcha.
People, if they slide away from God, often, you know, their prayer and their church attendance will stop. But I've found sometimes they will keep tithing.
The giving still goes.
Yeah, no, and then eventually it might. But then revival, which Malachi says, he was trying to revive people. And they said, well, we come to church, we do all this stuff. He said, how should we be revived? He says, tithes and offerings.
Right.
Says that'll bring you revival.
Right.
So the windows are closed.
Which is worship.
Yeah. Totally.
You know.
Totally.
That's a high sign of worship.
Mm-hmm.
High sign of surrender.
Yeah.
And it's counterculture to everything that, let's call it the economy of the world and the economy of the kingdom. Lay down your life.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a new one.
Yeah.
You'd never hear that.
No.
You would not hear that out in the world or. And
well, you don't hear of leaders dying for their followers either. They're generally trying to rip them off or whatever.
Right.
But Jesus comes, he gives his giving.
Right. And that's that reverse side of it,
mm-hmm.
where the kingdom acts different to the world. Where the world wants, you know, what are the three? Sex, money, power.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the pursuit of the kingdom is going to be faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be humility.
Servanthood, yeah.
Yeah, servanthood.
Yeah, amazing.
And so being generous in all of those areas.
Beautiful.
We want to be that
church. You've got enough preaching here to stock up for the first year.
I think so.
On all of this. So what's the next principle?
The next one, legacy.
Okay.
So there's a few points to that, but children.
Right.
Our children in America are under attack.
Right.
And we want to fight for them.
Good.
We want to fight for their minds, fight for their hearts, fight for their futures.
Mm-hmm.
That could felt like it's been squandered.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the local church so much that mm-hmm. blessing, that favor, that multiplication comes from it. When there is a thriving church in a community, and that community is absolute subject to Christ,
mm-hmm.
that there is blessing that flows out.
Totally. Sensational.
And so we want to be building for the history of tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
is what we'd say. Mm-hmm. And so that is our children.
Yeah. Plus it's like there's a deliverance generation. And whenever there's one of those, the devil tries to kill all the kids, like Moses.
Right.
When he was born as a deliverer, to actually kill the one, the devil tried to just take out the entire generation.
Yeah, right.
And it's the same when Jesus was born. Herod commanded the death of all these kids.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
The horror of it, all those poor mothers.
I haven't looked at it that way. That's interesting, yeah.
You know, but both of them came to saviors of their world,
uh-huh.
deliver and set free people. And so I think part of that attack, it's got a more, I guess, serious, you know, calling on all churches everywhere.
100%.
To be protecting young children, you know, and without, you know, taking a wrong angle on this, it was the boys that the devil was after in Moses' time and in Jesus' time.
Right.
And they just wanted to destroy male uh-huh. rising.
Uh-huh.
And because there was a deliverance amongst them.
Yes.
And so anyway, good job. What's the next one?
The next one, the table. We talked about the table.
Yeah.
And then and those, when it says the table, we want to provide tables. Like I said, Jesus spent a lot of his ministry around the table.
Right.
If you can call it a table. Sometimes it's on a beach.
He's
cooking breakfast. You know.
Such a foodie.
He was.
He's a chef too, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we wanna create tables of prayer.
Right.
Tables of discipleship.
Right.
Focused. Tables of communion.
Beautiful.
Tables of fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Of fun.
Right.
And that would bring it to the last the last pillar that we have is high joy. And so it's funny because a lot of I haven't looked through, and it's not right or wrong, but I put a high level on joy,
right?
On fun,
yeah.
Joy, deep joy, is different to high joy. Deep right. joy is I'm in a fight and I'm still gonna be happy. I've got it. Through this right. perseverance has been developed, you know, with grit teeth, and I love that. Love that joy, but at the same time, high joy mm-hmm. is having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, laughter is a medicine for the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine Jesus goofing off with his
yeah.
disciples.
Oh, totally.
In between, you know, it says they journey from here to there.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it's 25 miles.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there were these times where Jesus was, get behind me, Satan. And
totally.
But they loved him.
Yes.
And I think he was an enjoyable person. He was attractive. People
yes.
were drawn to him.
Huh.
And,
totally.
And so I think there was that thing of like, so, I
want to be around him, that yes. kind of guy.
Yeah.
Whenever they come into the house and you can hear them in another room, you want to get into that room.
Yes.
Because yeah, that person's yeah. there. Yeah, obviously. He was magnetic. So, Joe, where do people go to find out more about C3OC?
Yeah, so you can go to c3oc.com. You can follow us on Instagram, which is C3 Los Angeles.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no, go to C3LA as well. But you can follow along the Orange County journey, C3 Orange County.
Yeah.
And you'll see us moving forward in the yeah. next year. Then we'll be getting into a closer succession of organized meetings
yeah.
as we run up to probably an official launch looking at April, May.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
And so, Joe, we're praying for you and believing with you. And if anybody wants to help out Joseph and Christine as they launch out, you can send an offering or any support to the account that you'll find on their website.
Yep. You can give through our website. You can get in touch with us through our website, hello@c3oc.com. And we'd appreciate any support. We'd appreciate your prayers too, your words of encouragement. Please send them through as we adventure
exactly.
on this.
And if you are listening to this and you don't have a pastor and you're in the area and you're not in church at this church, you're welcome. Yeah, we'd love to see you there.
Amen.
And if you are in a church, please stay there, support your pastor,
Amen.
Be strong, and let's build a church together. Thanks, Joe.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.